to the Beer Healer Interviews. I am your host, Chris Lukianenko, and I scour this big brand land of ours, looking under fermenters and behind mash tuns to find the best beer stories to share with you. The Beer Healer Interviews is now available on all major podcast services. If you like the show and want to help out, can I ask you to simply rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or your preferred podcast service? Just leave a few words and a rating and the podcast gods will do the rest. By doing this, you'll help others to discover the show more easily and hopefully get more people interested in this great industry that we call craft beer. Hobart, Tasmania is often thought of as a pretty quiet old town. It offers nowhere near the excitement and activities of other eastern seaboard capital cities, but for maybe the first time in my life this year, I've been the envy of many of my mainland friends. You know, I think Tassie might actually be the safest place on earth right now in terms of this whole COVID pandemic. And look, in recent weeks, it seems that this sleepy little town of Hobart has kind of come alive again as we welcome back tourists, and it's great to see. One such tourist sits with me in my work podcast studio, which will actually be the last time I record here as I'm moving on from my job. So, without any further ado, welcome to the Beer Healer Interviews, one half of Your Mates Brewing, Kristen McGarry.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Well, it's great to finally have you across the... Like, in person, it's even better. Welcome to Tassie.
Thank you.
Oh, I should say welcome back because it's not your first time, is it?
No. We were here exactly 2 years ago. It's kind of technically... my wife and I's honeymoon.
Yeah.
I did propose at Wine Glass Bay 2 years ago. So Tassie definitely holds a special place in our hearts. It's been a great trip so far.
And in typical Tassie fashion, we've given you four seasons inside your 10 days or whatever you've been here.
It's been pretty wild, eh? We've got snow up top of Mount Wellington. We were looking at just at the Cascade Brewery doing the historical tour there. And we were thinking of going up Mount Wellington tomorrow, but...
Yeah, nah. Well, I wouldn't worry.
We're a little bit nervous about it.
Yeah, I wish you guys could see right now, Kristen is sitting here across from me in a traditional Cascade Blue Lager beanie. It's great to see. He's gone full Hobart Bogan.
Yep, embraced it.
Well, while you've been here, have you enjoyed any great Tasmanian beers?
We just had the Fresh Hop Harvest IPA at Cascade, which I was really pleasantly surprised
with. What was the hop
they
used in there?
They didn't let us know, but they did tell us that the brewer there grabbed some of the Cascade hops that they have growing out the back of there.
Oh, yeah.
And threw some of them into the kettle as well, which I thought was pretty cool. I did quiz them about the name Cascade. Thinking, is it just a coincidence that, you know, kind of number one hop variety in the world is Cascade, and the brewery down here is called Cascade.
Well, they give you just water over the waterfalls or something?
Cascading, rolling water over the hills. So, the girl who did the tour talked about all of the things that were kind of happy mistakes that produced really good stories, and I think that's definitely one of them.
Yeah, and did you introduce yourself as Kristen from Your Mates, and did they know who you were?
No, I did not. But my wife's always pretty quick to do that for me.
Oh, did she?
She likes to try and embarrass me, I think.
Oh, she's just your biggest fan, that's all.
Yeah, that's it, that's for sure. I try not to, I don't know. I don't know if anyone really cares who I am.
Oh, mate, we care here on the Beer Healer Interviews, that's for sure. Let's crack these beers that you've brought in with you.
Cool.
There we go. Beautiful. As I said before, this is my last podcast in this room. It's actually a work day where it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm breaking all the rules, but what are they going to do? They can't fire me. I've already quit. I leave next week. So we've got the Eddie Session XPA here.
Cheers, mate. I'm very honoured to be the last one in this room.
It's quite special, actually.
These hallowed halls, I'm sure they are. If these egg cartons could talk.
It's making me tear up a little bit. Speaking of beers, what's been your favourite beer that you've enjoyed from the local brewers while you've been down here?
Excellent question. I haven't got to try as many as what I would have hoped for, but we had a really good session at Fox Friday yesterday.
Benny. And, did you meet Ben?
No, didn't meet Benny, but was really impressed with all the beers on tap there. In particular, the I know they have a huge lineup of the kind of hazier beers, but the Nitro Red Ale.
Oh, yeah, I've had the Red Ale, not on Nitro. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that was really nice. Yeah.
Nice. I'm a big fan of his most recent West Coaster. I think it was called The Doctor. I'm not sure if that was available. Well, that's just gone into cans. But
oh, yeah, nice.
Whatever that bloke throws his hand at seems to go pretty well, and he's expanding big time. So people will see him on the mainland at some stage.
Yeah, nice. Whereabouts are they actually brewing the beers? Because that was
– so they're just probably, I don't know, 10 minutes north of the city in a place called Moona. So it's just a – it's like a storage shed almost set up that they've got out there. It's got a small brew kit in there. But he was busting at the seams there, and then they've come into this – venue that they're in now, which used to be a restaurant in the city, and he's just turned it into that awesome beer hall. And
yeah, it's a beautiful spot. There was a buddy 30th birthday party on there when we were there on Saturday night. It was going off.
Yeah, God. Well, enough about the competitors. Let's talk about you. As I said, I'm glad we finally got to do this chat because we've been speaking for a while.
Yeah.
You know, on the email and that sort of thing. And I've been doing my in-depth research as I always do. And I actually had to have a double take on how long your mates has been around. 6 years. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's unreal. It's felt like longer. Yep. I could definitely attest to that. But it definitely seems like, I guess, to outside of Sunshine Coast that we're a bit of a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
And pretty new to the scene. But, yep. I mean, that's kind of – you hear that there's no such thing as an overnight success.
Exactly.
We've been mucking around for a good 6 years now.
Yeah, awesome. I want to chat today sort of more about the current and next stage of your mates because you've been on other podcasts. You've talked about that. You know, people know where you've come from. They know the successes that you've had. But I think we need to at least acknowledge where you've come from on this thing. So I want you to treat this like a new season of a TV show on Netflix.
When
you get the last 2 minutes review of last what you missed in last season. So
the recap.
You've got 2 minutes to give me a recap on pretty much the last 6 years. And your time starts now.
Okay, two idiots in the garage. We're sick of getting up in the morning and groaning before they went to work. A teacher and a project manager working in construction. And we thought, how hard could it be? fast forward 6 years later, the answer is pretty bloody hard.
Yep.
But very much worth it. Some of the highlights we've seen over those 6 years. Got the chance to go on Shark Tank and refuse an offer from the Sharks. a pretty measly offer, but anyway, we'll still hold that one. We've had, a couple of good successes in the Hottest 100. Most importantly, especially in the last couple of years, we've just built an amazing team of employees, or you know, we call them mates. We're really, really proud of what we've done, and we pinch ourselves because shit, we're making beer for a living. We're paying our employees, and we're having a good bloody time doing it, eh?
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. And it's one of those things. I keep quoting that famous philosophizer, Macklemore from the Seattle area. It says, you know, find something you love and do it every day. Mm. It's just an absolute. It's the absolute truth for me. Yeah. I know in recent times because I've just switching jobs, you know, I lost that love for what I was doing.
Mm.
And it really does affect you, doesn't it?
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you spend more time at work than anything that you do in life.
Yeah.
So you better be doing something that, at least you don't hate.
Yeah, well, that's good. And if you love it, it's even better.
Mm.
So I said, you know, I want to talk about more than just the past. You were well under 2 minutes, by the way. Well done on that one. That's
oh,
good.
Sick. Nice.
You know, because I think that whole little brewery that surprised everybody has pretty much been talked about and done to death in the past. Well, you've got something awesome and new to talk about, and you announced it last month. Even though it was announced, I still feel like there's a fair bit of detail that you can share with people around it because people might not have realised because, you know, there's been other things in the news like COVID vaccines and stuff like that sort of get in the way of it. What are you up to? Tell us about it.
I guess the culmination of our if I add on to that 2 minutes, the culmination of the story of the two guys in the garage was, getting the chance to build our what we thought then was our dream brewery. We got a lease on a shed in Warana, which is kind of halfway between Caloundra and Mooloolaba on the sunny coast there. We've got a 7-year lease. We thought maybe in 5 years we could start looking at something beyond that if we kind of needed it. 2 years on and we're just like sardines in a tin can there. Eh? We're just working over the top of ourselves. We've squeezed in so many more tanks than we probably really should in a space like what we've got. And we just keep filling them and people just keep crying out for more. So we realize just what a big undertaking that was to first build that site. And so, yeah, we really need to be on the front foot if we're going to build this second site.
Yeah. So what are the plans with it? Like, are you thinking, you know, maybe location-wise you might stick where you are close by? I mean, you could head south into Brizzy, you could head north into Noosa, maybe capture some of that sort of tourist market?
Yeah, we've definitely explored the possibilities of going elsewhere, maybe going somewhere far north Queensland, going south down to Brisbane. I mean, there's more breweries on the sunny coast at the moment than there are in Brisbane. So, you know, go to a less saturated market seemed like a good idea. But yep. I mean, our home and our heart is the sunny coast.
Cool.
And we don't have a site at the moment because, yeah, just like I see a lot of kind of similarities with Tasmania and the Sunshine Coast, especially after COVID. And, you know, we've really come through COVID relatively untouched and
yep.
people are flocking to the Sunshine Coast in their droves. So
nice.
Land is becoming an issue up there, whether it's residential or commercial. So
yeah.
For something of the scale that we'll be looking at for this second site. And, you know, we don't want to mess about. We don't want to build something and have to build again because that's the whole premise behind this second site is let's just build it big and build it once because every single other brewery that we look at just seems to keep outgrowing what they believed was something that was way too big for them.
Just a quickie to let you know how you can help spread the stories of the great people that I talk to on the show. It's all about the socials. If you like an episode, you can share my announcement of it on Instagram to your story or to your Facebook feed or even just leave a thumbs up emoji comment or maybe tag a friend. It all helps. And of course, it's all about the Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review. It's the gold standard for helping people to discover the show. Leave a review and I'll post it on my Instagram feed. Thanks very much for your support. I said to you that in the email yesterday that I seen that photo of the artist's impression of the venue and I thought it actually was the real thing. It was so bloody good. But when I saw that, the first thing that sprung to my mind was Shelter Brewing in Busselton. It's a place I've never been to. I spoke to those guys a couple of weeks ago, but what they've got on the beach there, like, is just beautiful for that tourist spot there. And it just feels to me like if you could have something along those lines up on the Sunshine Coast, it would just be awesome.
Yeah, yeah. We want to have that tap room experience as part of it. We see that as like the heart of the brewery, the ability to have people come in and really to give them the ultimate Your Mates experience, to really show them exactly what we're about, what our values are, and give them the best showing of our beers possible. And whilst what we've got at the moment is a bit more rustic, a bit more kind of rough around the edges, this next site we want to be pretty state of the art.
Yep.
And so that's another element that we want to show people. We're really keen to showcase the packaging line as well in this in this next site. Is it an idea that we've had is rather than kind of having the brewery and the stainless steel as the kind of feature piece, where we've got our packaging line situated at the moment is basically there's a glass pool fence and then the venue's there.
Yep.
And it was just by kind of accident that that's happened and people sit down and when the canning line is running, there's just so much more theatre involved in the packaging process. There's cans going everywhere. It's noisy. There's people, you know. It takes us – we're very inefficient on the canning line at the moment. It takes us like five people to package at the moment. And there's just, there's movement. You can see the cartons coming in, the cans coming in, and then the full cartons heading into the cold room.
Yeah, nice.
I'd love to have conveyors with cartons going like through the tap room so people can kind of see.
Ka-ching, oh, ka-ching,
shit,
ka-ching.
Look, they're bloody packaging at the moment. Look at all them Larry's going past. And have cameras inside where the fill heads are and the seamer is, because there's just so much action.
Yeah.
It's really
cool.
An amazing thing to watch.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. The other venue I was thinking about when I was thinking about what you're up to was the beach at Byron Bay. Like, to me, something along that captures that vibe where you're literally walking out of the surf, barefoot, chuck your thongs on, walk into the bar and you're straight away. And in that case, obviously, you'd be grabbing a Stone and Wood Pacific. But for jumping in and grabbing a Larry like that would just be
There's nothing more iconic than that bloody beach hotel.
Yeah.
It's an amazing location there.
A couple of big nights there.
a couple of nights in the pack ale there. We're looking for, and hopefully we can uncover a site like that on the Sunshine Coast. But also, you kind of have to make the most of the space that you got. And I think there's no reason why, these kind of old industrial areas can't be transformed into real precincts that people. They're coming for the beers, you know what I mean?
Throw a few palm trees, some fake grass, throw a bit of sand.
Well, I mean, like Moondog has done an excellent job there. Like that Moondog world is really something pretty phenomenal there with the bloody water features and everything.
I've got to get there one day.
They just totally transformed that kind of old decrepit space there. But we're looking for a site. The issue here is on the Sunshine Coast that there is just not that kind of land available. So one of the reasons we've kind of put this release out is to kind of see if we can uncover that little block of land or that big block of land. Hopefully find that next site.
And so if you do the new site, what happens to the old site? Will you keep both?
Definitely keep that one.
Yep.
So that'll just become full R&D facility,
yep.
Really increase our fleet of barrels and, just anything that's not core range will come out of there.
Okay.
I mean, we've just never had the ability to really do a lot of limited releases because we've decided that, probably a hangover from the way we started the brewery, me being the head brewer, I didn't have any prior brewing experience. So our philosophy from the start was let's just do one beer at a time and do it really well.
Yeah.
And then once we're happy with that, then let's start to expand the range. And, it's 6 years later and we pretty well have a core range of six beers. And the limited releases, we just haven't really dipped our toes into them properly yet.
But you have brewed quite a few beers. I think I was looking on Untappd last night and you had something like 60 beers, I think,
We rotate them all through the tap room, as in limited release in package form, it only ever stays in the tap room until we get to a point where we're kind of ready and we're confident that beer has some legs in the outside world.
So do you think with the new brew house it's really going to expand the lineup of beers dramatically or is it just
I think so.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, we'll still make sure that whatever we put out is bang on quality wise. Yeah. But it's just going to give us more capacity to be able to do that.
I'm assuming you've got a lineup of friends who are pitching their name to be the next beer that you're going to name after them.
Yeah. Naming the beers is the question every single beer tour or every single beer dinner or tasting that we do is definitely one of the number one questions is how do you come up with the names? There's really no rhyme or reason to it. Larry was literally us on the couch in the garage, which is really, a lot of the way that the brewery was going to look and feel, yep. and the kind of name of your mates came from those brainstorming sessions that Matt and I had, just kind of trying beers and kind of thinking about what we wanted our beers to taste like and what we wanted to look like and how they should feel. And yeah, we came up with the name Old Mates originally, Old Mates Brewing Company. Well, actually, and still comes in on our Commonwealth Bank statement each each quarter. It's addressed to Salty Dog Brewers. I think, needless to say, we're very glad we didn't keep that name. I think we had to register something when we registered our ABN or something like that when we had to get a when we needed to open up a bank account.
Yeah, blah blah blah. Trainers.
Yeah. So we had Salty Dog. I mean, we've tried to change it like countless times, but the CBA just seemed to kind of they just keep reminding us of that story of Salty Dog Brewers. So then we had Old Mates. That was trademarked by a wine supplier down in South Australia or something like that.
Yeah.
We gave them a call and they said they'd come back to us with the number. And this is just us on the couch.
Yeah. If it's over $100, I'm not interested.
Pretty well at that stage. We'd both quit our jobs and we were working in a bar at night and just kind of running the brewery during the day, but it was really just us learning how to brew and kind of learning what we needed to do to open up a business and things like that. So we said no stuff.
Thank you, but no thank you.
And then Matt said, what about your mates? It makes even more sense. And then quickly after that, the idea of giving the beers personalities and names came pretty naturally after that. Yep. And our first one, as soon as one of us said Larry, happy as Larry, I mean, it was just no-brainer. And I think all the good ideas we've ever had, we can describe them as being no-brainers. It's just like that's it just cool. makes sense. It didn't have to be forced at all. And that's how we kind of still treat the naming process as if it just happens. Sometimes we put it to the crowd. Sometimes one of our staff just comes up with a sick name and shit, if it's good, it sticks.
Cool. That's cool. Hey, there's been a lot of talk in the industry of late of, you know, funding models for doing the sort of stuff that you're up to now. My mates at Batch, we went the equity crowdfunding route. Mighty Craft have been helping out, you know, investing capital in a few breweries here and there. Others are going to the bank. How do you guys want to fund this big expansion? Because it's not going to be cheap.
No, it's not going to be cheap. And I mean, that's pretty amazing, that 1.5 mil
it's pretty cool.
from Batch just recently. We definitely were very impressed by that. I mean, there's the three models. There's debt. Yep. I mean,
that's a bit of debt.
What's a bit of debt? I guess interest rates are pretty low at the moment, so that is probably the ideal way to do it. But the banks are pretty pretty tight with their money usually. So, and then the private equity, we really, really love and value the equity owners of our business currently.
Yep.
So they're all mum and dad investors and none of them would be offended if I refer to them as that. Like, instead of buying their second house, you know, they believed in what we were doing.
Yep.
And they've been on the roller coaster ride with us and they've been having a blast as well. Yep. They're really good people, and I think that if we got the right people involved, then private equity would also be a good way to do it. Crowdfunding is it looks exciting and it looks scary, equal parts. There's been some breweries who have done some really good stuff with
Black Ops is only down the road. You can go and get some listens from them, can't you?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, those guys are great. They're always very very forthcoming with their experiences and what they learnt from them. It's something that we haven't counted out, but we're definitely going to go down the avenue of debt and equity first. And
yeah,
and
you can always go back to the sharks.
Oh yeah, yeah. You always go back to the sharks. All of our shareholders are always like, oh, you should tell them they made a bloody mistake. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe they think that. Maybe they we're just a blip on their radar.
Yeah, I actually interviewed a few months ago for our, we had a Love Your Work festival here at my job, and I interviewed Steve Baxter from Shark Tank for that work gig.
Oh yeah,
live on camera. Which is pretty cool. But the whole thing was about celebrating your love for your work.
Yeah.
Whereas it wasn't, that's not really what he's about. He's kind of more about just, I want to make some cash.
Yeah.
And I want to build businesses. I think he enjoys that a little bit more. So maybe that was it. Because I do know he's a beer drinker and a beer lover.
Definitely. He loves a good beer. And we really appreciated that mentorship that they gave us after the show. So we've spent about 2 hours with both Glenn and Steve in a room, kind of going over, what I guess essentially the same thing that we talked about on the show.
Yep.
But we were probably about 6 months on from there.
Yeah, okay.
By then.
Yeah.
Really, they just filled us with confidence. You know, said, well, I mean, if you're doing what you say you're doing, and people are, if people are buying your product and enjoying it and there's demand for it, then just keep doing what you're doing.
Did they ask you to name a beer after them?
No, they didn't. But they where was I going with that one?
What would the Steve be if it was a Steve beer?
The Steve would have to be I can't even think.
Maybe something equal parts enjoyable and polarizing.
Yeah, that's
big ass IPA perhaps. Let's change tack a little bit. Something I really love about what you guys do is your sense of humor. That Aussie larrikin spirit it's awesome. And it feels like, while you're quite serious about your business, you also don't take things too seriously in general as you sit across from me with a pom-pom on your head. Case in point is the story about your mid-strength beer, Eddie, which is what we're drinking here this afternoon, and his disappearance.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Do you want to just explain that? That's so cool.
So Eddie, we lost him. Well, we lost the capacity for him originally, and we had to pull him. And that's kind of something that goes through the philosophy of our core range, is that if we want to make it available, then it needs to be available.
It
can't just be like, oh, this week we've got stock, next week we don't have stock, or this week we do, and this week we don't. That's cool for a limited release point of view, but for a core range, I think that if we can't keep him in cans, then we just had to pull him out last year, which is a huge disappointment to Matt and myself because,
It's a good beer.
As 6 years ago we were able to take that full strength of Larry, but
listen to you, old man.
Running a business. We got enough headaches without having hangover headaches.
Yeah,
we had to pull him and
the great story of Eddie going over to Mexico and disappearing and sending back photos of himself in a kayak and stuff.
Yeah, when he came back, he told us that, he'd just been in Mexico the whole time having a good time. Extreme Eddie. We definitely don't take ourselves too seriously. We want to have fun. We want to have fun with the beers, and we want people to have fun while they're drinking our beers.
So Eddie won't disappear again with the new venue?
Hopefully not.
It's interesting, you've been in business for 6 years and things change and you've got to get serious and you've got to make business decisions, all that sort of thing. And we were just talking off the mic a second ago that because the other beer you've got here today is Macca, which is the lager, which I had, 6 months or so ago and didn't realize at the time when I was drinking that it was a mid-strength. And you were just saying that you had two mid-strengths and now you don't.
Yeah, we've made a decision to bring Macca's ABV up to 4.2%. It was really just based on a hunch. We had two mid-strength beers. We really think that mid-strength with lots of flavor it connects with Matt and myself. And, if we like to drink it, then that's usually how we like to point the direction of the beers.
Yep.
And, we thought, hey, well, why don't we just boost Macca up? We ran a few trials through the tap room, which is always the best researching grounds that we have, and found that the people really responded to it in the tap room, and it's really really come across nicely. We've actually changed yeasts as well.
Okay.
So we've gone from S189 to W3470. And, yeah, it's really brought out the malt profile in the beer.
Cool.
And, yeah, really happy with where it's sitting now.
I think also people are starting to get used to that 4.2 type percentage. Like you look at some of the bigger brewers, things like Summer Bright Lager and some of those, I think 2 Extra Dry might be around that now.
Yeah.
That 4.2 is kind of like the next, you've got 3.5 for your mid, 4.2 is your next one, and then
4.5,
maybe 4.5, then 5 sort of thing. So I think it's good that you've got maybe one in each kind of category. Did you think of it that way?
I think that for me, 4.2 is just like it's full strength, but it's not too full strength. You know, that's I guess where we kind of pulled that number from, and yeah, that's kind of where he sat. I mean, yeah, Larry's in there at 4.5%, which yeah, we like a bit of bang for your buck on Larry, and yeah, I think that we liked those mid strength elements still of Macca, so we tried to make him not bring him up to 5%, but yeah, bring him to those kind of lower regions.
Not quite as big as King Donnie that's sitting right next to him right now and all his elegance in his 500ml can there.
Not as big as King Donnie, no. Big 8% on that one.
Yeah, nice. So you are sort of starting to play in some of those other areas around, you know, fruited sours, big double IPAs, any barrel aging, what sort of stuff too? Or?
Yeah, so we've got a barrel fleet of 4 barrels, all 4 of them from Beenleigh Distillery, so 30-year-old ex-rum barrels. That's the first time we've played in the kind of barrel realm was with this first King Donnie.
Yep.
And wow, they're just magic.
Like nice,
you put a beer in there and that beer just comes alive. Yeah. We were so happy with the way that the first release of King Donnie has turned out. There are a couple of cans floating about in the business. We're trying to hold on to them
barrel aging as opposed to barrel fermenting at this stage.
Yeah, just barrel aging.
Yeah.
So just trying to soak up that oak and rum flavor from the barrels. Hopefully we can start to do some verticals in a few years once we have a few years of vintages up our sleeve. Like I said, hopefully once we free up a bit of space, because you know that's the biggest issue we've got at the moment is just space there. Then we can get a few more barrels.
Yeah. I don't think people outside of perhaps your home city actually realise that you've got all these different beers and all these different elements to you. I think the fact that you had Larry just, you know, come to prominence so quickly was a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
Like a blessing. People knew who you were. But then I think on the flip side, which is something I'm not a huge fan of because I don't like negativity in the industry, that, you know, occasionally your mates has been thrown around as a butt of a few jokes within the industry. Why do you feel people doing this? Is it tall poppy syndrome? And how does it make you feel as like this is your business?
Tall poppy syndrome. That's a pretty Aussie thing.
Yep.
So we got to be able to cop that as kind of proud Aussies like we are. But also, yeah, I think that it is easy. Yeah, it's easy for us to kind of sit there and be like, oh, everyone's kind of giving us shit. Sad for us, kind of thing. But I mean, I'm just happy. People know who Larry is. I mean, this was a beer that we dreamed up literally in the garage as two guys who didn't have a cent to their name, had no experience whatsoever. People are going to talk shit about you no matter what, and especially the people who, I guess, are, I mean, I'm not calling it success, but like people who are in the limelight, we'll get torn down at times, but we responded a little bit last year in that, you know, we're super proud of Larry. We focus on beer quality over everything, and we back that beer, and we think that it has the legs to be up there in the top numbers, and we're going to keep singing Larry's praises because we really love him. We believe in him. We've got a great team of people pushing that beer and brewing that beer and marketing that beer. And we think that you've got to have every single element top notch to do well.
And I mean, once is probably lucky, twice something good's going on.
Yeah, I mean, like that was probably I guess to be able to stand our ground up there was that was definitely something.
We were in good company. What was it this year? It was Crankshaft, XPA, you guys, and Stone and Wood Pacifico, was it? I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, these are
good company.
These are the brewers that inspired us to take up brewing in the first place. So we are just absolutely so honored. It's just like we pinch ourselves. You know, we never dreamed that we would be doing any of the things that we're doing. We would be still happy if, you know, all we had was our small brewery in Moffat Beach in that little 60 square meter shed. but we're also ambitious, and we're gonna have a crack. And that's the whole business was kind of founded on that, having a crack.
Yeah, nice.
And we're not gonna kind of be put off if people give us some shit here and there. Yeah. That's fine.
So on the one side, you had a few keyboard warriors giving you a little bit of grief here and there. On the flip side, did you have brewers reaching out and saying, hey, I've tried Larry and it's fucking good?
Yeah, and I mean, that's ultimately, one of the most honouring things as well is not just brewers but just other people on their keyboards kind of standing up for us and saying, hey, like we've tried that beer and we love it.
Yep.
So that's why we voted for it. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a popularity contest. Yeah. Everyone knows that. There's no one trying to pull the wool over anyone's eyes about that.
Yeah.
But also, people are not going to vote for beers that they don't like.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You're just not going to do that.
I said one first time, lucky. Second time, something's going on. This is a serious beer, serious contender to repeat the success. So, yeah, no, well done to you, I reckon.
It's my favourite beer,
I love it. I think it's a ripper, speaking of getting serious, I've been trying to add a little bit of focus around health and wellbeing to recent interviews, and I fell across your blog article on your site recently, which was 3 Ways to Be a Better Mate. I have to say I was really impressed by it. It was really cool, actually, and I just wanted to know, what was the motivation behind writing that, because it was awesome?
I guess, we're in a position that, we've got a following of people. You know, we've got almost 20,000 people tuning into our social media channels and things like that. And who knows how many people who are interacting with us through the website and through our beers. We have a responsibility to not just be a good brewery and not just be a big brewery for the sake of being big, but we've got to be a good business, and we've got to be able to make sure that we're responsible with the things that we put out, and we really acknowledge that alcohol is a depressant, and we want to highlight the positive things around social interaction and having beer as a sorry to kind of borrow from Matt Kierkegaard, but beer is the way to start the conversation.
Yeah.
Start the chin wag is the way that we your mates say it, and we just want to make sure that people who are drinking our beers, who are out there, are checking in with each other and making sure that people feel comfortable to kind of speak up if they're having a bit of trouble. You know, it's that mental health issue. It's just becoming bigger and bigger and bigger every year, it seems. And we want to acknowledge that. Yeah, alcohol is a risky thing to throw into that mix. So we want to make sure that we're being responsible with it.
Cool. Good on you for doing that. How about you guys? How do you manage your work-life balance? I mean, maybe it's trips to Tasmania for you. It's fishing for Hep, is it?
Yeah. we try our hardest to kind of to take time when we can. It's probably the best thing for our mental health is having each other.
Yep.
That kind of shared responsibility, shared success, shared burden, shared stress.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you reduce it by half when you know you've got someone else there.
Is that a problem? Shares a problem? Something else? I don't know.
I see so many founders who are kind of doing it by themselves, and I just, it would just be so, I'm amazed by it because it would be so hard to do on your own.
Yeah.
And now we've also got, you know, a team of, we've got 40 full-time staff now. So, yeah, it's really, really epic to have such a good team behind us that, yeah, I can take 2 weeks off and go to Tasmania now. And
nice.
I don't feel stressed that our beer's not going to be looked after the right way or we're not going to, I just don't feel like there's really kind of those huge issues that we used to feel back in the day.
Well, I mean, you know, coming down here to Tassie for a nice holiday, it's got to end at some stage. So how much longer you got?
We're back on Wednesday. We fly out.
Straight back into the brewery?
Straight back into the brewery on Thursday. We've got, heaps of exciting stuff coming up. We're actually doing a beach trip up to Double Island. I don't know if you know
that is. Anywhere in Queensland's all right with me.
So there's it's like a little beach island just north of the sunny coast. So
yep.
We've invited any staff and their partners who are keen to come up. So
yeah.
Get back on Thursday. Then do a half day on Friday, and then we're heading up the beach. Jeez, it sounds like it's just
you're living the
life
dream.
Living the dream, eh?
I did spend some time on Forex Island once. Is that close?
Oh, shit. I think Forex Island is up more of the Whitsundays way, I think.
It's off Yipoon, I think, from memory.
Yeah, nice.
So, no, I think I'd rather go to your island because all we got to drink was Forex Gold. That I can't complain. It was a bloody great trip. One of the greatest trips of my life, in fact, hanging out with my wife and my best mate and his wife. It was pretty awesome.
Nice.
Got to love being in Queensland. But enough of me, because I've got to let you get back to your wife and continue your trip. So just quick wrap up, like the next 6 months, what's going to happen leading into summer? Have you got some big stuff you need to tick off before you start to head into the more serious thing around, you know, raising this money, putting down development applications and all that sort of stuff?
We've got a few like upgrades to our canning line that's coming online in the next few months. This year's King Donnie. We've got the Gabs beer. This year coming up.
It's back.
Yeah. So Barry.
That's a great name. I love Barry.
Barry is a rum ball barrel aged imperial stout. So
nice.
Using those.
Is that a scoop?
That's a scoop. I don't know. I don't know when this
effects.
Will be aired, but I'm happy to announce that one. this is aged in those same 30-year-old. Beanley rum barrels.
Oh yeah, nice.
12% coconut infused.
Beautiful.
It's going to be a cracker.
Beautiful. Well, I'm hoping to get over to Melbourne. I've got my ticket being reissued from last year. So
yeah. We're booked in from last year to come down as well. Yeah.
Oh, sensational. It's so great to have beer festivals back again.
So great.
Well, mate, thanks for taking time to come down and have a chat with me today. I'm so glad we finally been able to meet face to face.
Yeah, me too.
Hope you've enjoyed your time in Tassie and cheers for the beers. And I suppose I better get back to work.
Too easy, mate. Thank
Good
you
idea.
So much for having us. And thank you, Tassie, for having us too. It's just a bloody amazing place, eh?
Beautiful. Cheers.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks for listening. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. If you have an interesting beer story and want to be a guest on the Beer Healer interviews, send me a message via my Facebook page. And once again, if you want to help out the show, a simple rate and review on Apple Podcasts or a follow, like, or share on any other podcast service will do the trick. I'll catch you soon.